How's the sunny coast?
It's very good. Where have we found you, Matt?
I'm driving around St Kilda Lake, going back home to get a coffee, which I desperately need.
Do you have a good coffee machine at your place?
I do. Yeah. Look. Oh my gosh, that's a very big debate because we just got rid of the pod machine because woman I love was getting jack of all the pods, and we've got a proper machine with, like, you know, you can. It does tamping, and it makes the best.
Excuse me.
That's what I've got. And it was worth it, Matt.
Excuse me, both of you snobs. What's wrong with the tin?
Oh, nobody drinks instant coffee anymore. Surely.
No, I don't mind a gold blend.
I don't mind
the quality. Well, I don't mind your quality instant, but your master roast. Oh,
that's what he's got in his cupboard. Don't worry.
International roast.
Ed, it works well for me. And remember, you are talking to Noosa, Matt, so, you know, the pods work well here.
I'll be easy. I would have thought Noosa's got a very fine coffee. She did not, Matt Sinclair from Some Young Guys, start as a barista on Sunshine Beach, didn't he?
He did, and he would be mortified if he heard us talking about pod coffee as an alternative to properly brewed barista coffee, I assure you. Yeah,
but what do we expect from a big mouth like you, Matt Preston?
Oh, no, sorry that he referenced the book name so early, Matt. I apologise in advance. And that is why we're talking to you, the book, Big Mouth, a memoir. Great title and even better photo. Everybody that's come into our office that's seen the cover of your book was like, wow, that's a photo. You're like a good brie. You get better with age.
Well, I reckon it's a warts and all memoir, so it's good as the picture is warts and all as well. You can see every big night at the Noosa Food and Wine Festival written on that face, I'd suggest.
It's a great photo, though. It truly is.
Yeah. He's a marvellous photographer, Julian King. He's been taking my picture for 15 years. And he's what he's the master of? He's the master of lighting. So you come in and you look rubbish. You put the lights go up and suddenly, I never knew my eyes could be that blue. How did that happen?
He needs to do my next promo photos, I think.
I've got to ask you, Matt, we're talking Noosa. Where do you like to hang out? Where does Matt Preston like to, go and spend his hard-earned?
I like to spend my time on the beach. Hello. Well, what are we doing? Let's just take some of that delicious yogurt with passion fruit and eat some yogurt on the beach. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere better. Oh, look, you know, I've learned never to single anywhere else because the moment I mention one place, my mates in the other five will ring and go, "What about us? What about me? How can you mention that?" I think the whole of that coast. I've had amazing. I remember being one year and Tetsuya said, "Come, you know, Tetsuya is one of our great Australian chefs," and he took me down to this great little Japanese place in Maroochy, and it was just amazing. I'm going, no one knows about this place. But it's really good. So I think that's the brilliant thing about being up there. You're always going to get a good coffee. You're going to get great food. But, you know, if I come up, Some Young Guys is normally on the agenda because I just love Matt Sinclair. He's such a beautiful human. And the food he cooks, wherever he is, whether it's at his house or in a restaurant, it's always really good.
Well, good, Matt. Now you mentioned it, we get free lunch, so thank you.
Oh, no, we just stop that. We do not.
It's just getting a booking's hard enough, I can tell you.
Yes, and he's not giving away free food. Goodness me. You were mentioning earlier that you do like the beach, as a lot of people do, Matt. But I laughed when I got to, what chapter is it? Chapter 50, I think it says in your book, when you mentioned Port Hedland in Western Australia. You basically got over there and found out everything could kill you. So I was surprised.
Oh my God, well, how bad is that? Because you turn up as you do somewhere like Port Hedland, you go, oh, that water looks amazing. and the guy at the motel was saying, he was like, right, okay. These are the following things. This is why you don't get bull sharks, crocodiles, luring octopus. I think there might have been a kanji.
Yep.
And some of the scarier local miners who don't like soft-handed southerners on their beach gallivanting around in their speedos, understandably. That was the moment, and I'm going, okay, I'll just have a shower.
Yeah, that's the only way to get wet in Port Hedland. You definitely stay away from the water's edge, mate. The book is deeply personal. There's lots of light and shade in the book as well, but I was particularly touched by the story of your brother and your mum's experience in losing your sibling there. How hard was it for you to be quite so honest and raw, Matt. That's not an easy thing to do.
I think that's because, you know, whether as a journalist or on TV, we're the masters of artifice, or the masters of you know, showing feelings but often not showing true feelings. And I think the whole point, if you're going to write a book like that, you've got to be brutally honest with yourself. Writing it and being honest is quite easy because I go, well, what I really feel, and then I write that down. The really hard thing I've got to say was, after writing the book, I then did the audio book, and I had to read the whole book. My brother died of a thing called SUDEP, which is sudden unexplained death and epilepsy. Mm. It wasn't really recognised as a cause of death, but now it is, thank heavens, because it can be dramatically reduced by the right approach by the GP. But we lose about 170 young adults to SUDEP every year. That can be hard. That can be hard by the right approach. If the GP knows what they're looking for, if you follow a simple website like Epilepsy Action Australia, that they've got some amazing help. But to read the letter that my mother wrote 2 days after discovering my brother, you know, passed out on the floor of the bedroom where him and I grew up together, to read the letter that she wrote about that experience, about what happened, about being going to the hospital and having that terrible experience of not knowing whether her son was alive or dead, and, you know, very, very, you know, windowless room, full ashtray, you know, no coffee, no tea, no sympathy.
And saw the paperwork.
She's walking with a sheaf of papers, and she realizes he's dead because the words refrigerator are written in big blue type on the back of the papers. So that's a really hard thing to read, really painful thing to actually even talk about. But when you actually say those things, writing is one thing, talking about it out loud is, you know, becomes easier. But my mum's brilliant approach was to say, right, well, this isn't good enough. You know, people need support to do that. So she set up with four other parents of kids who died of this same condition, set up a support group that's now influenced, you know, we now know what SUDEP is. We now know that you know, if you've got epilepsy, and an awful lot of Australians do have epilepsy, that it can be the causes, the chances can be dramatically decreased. So I'm really proud of my mum.
You should be. She's done an incredible thing.
A terrible moment is something good.
Wow, Matt, that's I remember reading the part about your mum and that letter, and it was very hard to read, and so no doubt very hard for you to talk about. But there's, like I said, light and shade. One of the light parts that I particularly liked was there's a photo of you in a gnome costume, and I had completely forgotten that you were on The Masked Singer.
It's hard to remember because I was only on for, I think, about a minute and a half.
Oh, it was memorable.
Shortest moments in Masked Singer history. I then managed to go out first in Dancing with the Stars. But I think that I learned stuff from both those things. I had great fun doing those things. And it's this idea of do stuff that scares you. Go in with an honesty about, I'm not a great singer, I'm a terrible dancer. But to try it, and then to go from terrible dancer to just a plain bad dancer, that change was actually incredibly satisfying. I got so much satisfaction dancing, so much so that I still dance twice a week with my dance partner on the show, Jess Raffer.
Wow.
So you know, I think that thing, do stuff that scares you, even if you don't think you've been very good at it, because maybe you'll have a natural aptitude for it, or alternatively, you may just enjoy the process of trying something you've always wanted to have a crack at.
So good.
I want to change tack now, Matt. Have a listen.
Neighbors, everybody needs
neighbors.
Why would that tune be make your heart palpitate?
Oh, well, look, for a whole number. One, because it's back, obviously. That's
thank you.
Exciting. Number two, because when I moved to Australia for my first 5 years in Australia, I was paid by a group of English magazines to write reports and interview Neighbours and Home and Away stars. For five years, that was my life.
You know, that's the gig I'm trying to get with Channel 10 right now.
He's been trying for years and nothing.
It's a great gig, but you have to watch every single episode of Neighbours.
He already does that.
For 5 years, I watched the. Watched a lot of Neighbours and Home Away. I'm a master at soap. But then also, it's probably the only moment that the only moment I know my mum was actually really happy and proud of me was this brilliant thing whereby I got a role. I really wanted to get a cameo, and I got a cameo on Neighbours acting with Alan Fletcher, Dr. Carl Kennedy. And it's the only thing I think my mum rang me and said, I saw you, that was really exciting. So it's important to acknowledge that my dear late mum was the woman who, when I was up for a Logie for Best New Talent, voted for a guy from Home and Away, Robin. So the Australian soap had a special place in her heart.
Your mum was a real one by the sound of things, Matt. Before we let you go, you've been very generous with your time, but at my house we still cook Gary's Beef Bourguignon, which we just have an adaptation of that, right? And it's always going to be called Gary's Beef Bourguignon at our place. What is Matt Preston's signature dish? What's the dish that you can just cook with your eyes closed that you don't stuff up, that you know will just... You know, everyone will love.
I make a pretty good bolognese, like a pretty good bolognese, and I've introduced a number of friends to it, and they now make it as their bolognese, and it's the recipe that probably I get most people coming up to signings or demos. They come and say, "Your bolognese is now our family's favourite," and I love that idea there's nothing better when you write a recipe to know people are cooking it. The book's one thing, but to give them something that becomes part of their repertoire. And I know Gary would be overexcited that you're making his bolognese and still making his bolognese. Probably more as much of the reason as the fact that Manu prides himself on his bolognese.
Oh,
and Gary will love to stick it to Manu.
It's beef bourguignon. It's not bolognese. Oh, yeah. It's Gary's beef bourguignon.
Oh, okay. So Gary's beef bourguignon. So Gary will love sticking it to Manu, because Manu prides himself. In fact, he's selling his beef bourguignon on a kind of a food pop-up that we're all doing together. So he would hate the idea that Gary has taken a French classic and you love it more than Manu. That's brilliant.
I have to have success in some dishes, Matt, because I cooked a lasagna once here not so long ago that the dog wouldn't eat. That's the short story. The kids didn't eat it, and I tried to give it to the dog, and the dog wouldn't eat it.
A lasagna is a crazy amount of work, right?
Yeah.
It's way too much work. If there are things you splash out on, I reckon a lasagna is one of those things that it's a great dish to eat out. You don't have to make you've got to make the bolognese sauce, you've got to make the white sauce, you've got to layer it, you've got to then cook it. It's an awful palaver, whereas a bolognese, you know, leave it on the stove for 4 hours and it cooks really slowly and gets super intense and rich, and then all you got to do is boil some pasta. So I'd suggest you can leave the lasagna, or if you've got a great aunt, get your talented aunt to make the lasagna, your mum to make the lasagna.
Hey, Matt, what about two-minute noodles? Two-minute noodles is a gourmet thing on its own.
I had that last night. I came back.
You did not.
I did. I came back from. I poached an egg in the little stock sachet water. I then cracked in the noodles, a slice of rubbish cheese, and I had dinner in 3 minutes.
Now there's a point of order in 2 minute noodles, Matt. Do you leave the water in or do you drain the water out when you eat them?
I'm a fan of draining most of the water. A knob of butter, and then stir in your favourite sachet. I reckon that's the way to go. It's too watery otherwise, and you want to maximise all that umami goodness in that magical packet of who knows what you sprinkle over there.
This is why we love you. You are so bloody normal, Matt Preston. So normal. It's just you're a breath of fresh air, mate.
Oh, look, thank you so much. And look, I think that's the thing about the book. I think the thing I've realised writing about it and trying to be, you know, raw and honest about it is the number of people who've come up to me and said, oh, my God, you won't believe what happened in my family. And they start to talk about the things they've been embarrassed about and too embarrassed to talk about, and they feel it's humiliating. And you have this great thing when you reveal something like that, you tend to find that people's reaction, rather than kind of belittling you, is incredibly supportive.
Yes.
And I think that's a really lovely thing to leave with, this idea that, you know, death of a son is a horrible thing, but so many people have to go through it. You know, death's part of life. So we should probably be talking about it and talking about what positives we can draw from these things rather than catastrophizing and panicking about it.
Well, the book is a tremendous read. It is called Big Mouth, A Memoir. Matt Preston, congratulations firstly on the book, and thank you so much for joining us.
Jade, thank you so much. And Bilko, lovely talking to you.